Daryl VanderVolde is who we're going to talk about next. He is one of the six military prosecutors who quit in protest last year of the Bush administration's policy related to Guantanamo Bay detainees, some calling the process a stain on America's military. This week, Daryl VanderVolde is filing a federal court declaration claiming that the evidence against the detainees is in such chaos it's impossible to build a fair case. And he's actually advocating now for the release of one of them that he was once in charge of prosecuting. He joins us now from Erie, Pennsylvania. Good morning and welcome, Daryl.
Good morning. Thank you.
As an outsider, it's a terrible indictment of the policies at Guantanamo when a prosecutor switches sides, never mind six prosecutors switch side. What was the final straw for you?
Well, the final straw for me was finding evidence that exculpated or tended to negate the guilt of one of the individuals I was prosecuting by happenstance. I was sitting in a colleague's office. I looked over at a binder of information, flipped through it just because I was waiting for a phone call, and found a statement by the person I was prosecuting that talked about how he'd been tortured when he was at Bagram. And this is something I hadn't been made aware of, something that I had an obligation absolutely to turn over to the defense long before and hadn't. And it was then I realized that if that was the state of affairs, I could no longer in good conscience continue.
And this is a failure that's happened repeatedly, and we know that because it's been ruled on in various cases by federal courts. And even on several instances, the Supreme Court has knocked down the Bush administration's policy. Why have they continued, do you believe?
It's puzzling because every time that a case has gone before the U.S. Supreme Court, the administration has lost, and lost badly. And yet they continue to press what a lot of legal commentators view as frivolous or even laughable legal positions, whether it's out of a mistaken vanity or, I don't know, some kind of mistaken belief that the Supreme Court is suddenly going to magically change its mind. I don't know. But I do know that the strategy that they started at the beginning hasn't worked. The adjustments they've attempted to make over the past 7 years haven't worked, and something has to be done other than simply repeat the same mistakes.
Now tell us about the detainee you're now advocating for.
Yes, his name is Mohammed Jawad. At the time, he was taken into custody by Americans in December 2002. He was approximately 16 years old. He was accused of attacking U.S. soldiers using a hand grenade as they drove through a marketplace in Kabul, Afghanistan. He was held at Bagram at the detention facility there for a period of about 2 months and then sent to Guantanamo, where he's been since. And even though it was known at the time that he was a juvenile, he was treated as if he were an adult. And that's something that wouldn't happen even in America. You know, we don't treat our own people that way, no matter what they've done. And it turned out, as I delved into the case, that he had been severely mistreated at Bagram. He'd been hooded, slapped on the face by guards, hooded, shackled, and thrown down flights of stairs. Just horrible things. And the military judge in the case, considering that evidence and evidence that he had been tortured by the Afghan police when he was first apprehended at the scene of the crime or the scene of the attack, throughout subsequent confessions that he allegedly made. And in my opinion, and I expressed this in my declaration, the judge's ruling essentially rendered the case unprosecutable, even without the state of chaos that existed in the evidence otherwise.
Mr. VanderVolde, this is Todd Zwillick. We read earlier this week that Susan Crawford, who is essentially the prosecution gatekeeper at Guantanamo Bay for those detainees, came out and said that another detainee, Mohammed Al-Qahtani, was also tortured, met the definition of torture, which even the White House says is illegal in the United States. Are you saying that the detainee that you're advocating for was treated in a way that meets the U.S. definition of torture? And if that's the case, are there others that we don't know about, and does this undermine the entire credibility of any kind of prosecution that could take place of war on terror detainees?
Well, fortunately, it's not a matter of my opinion. The military judge in the case that I just referred to did find that the detainee had been tortured. Ms. Crawford's acknowledgement, and she's in the best position to know all the facts about the Al-Qahtani case, who was reputed to be the 20th hijacker, certainly carries a great deal of credibility. In fact, it's explosive because it's the first acknowledgement by anybody connected with the Bush administration that detainees have been tortured at Guantanamo and at other places. A lot of the information that I have access to or had access to is classified, so I can't discuss it. But I will say it wouldn't surprise me to find out that other detainees who were sought to be prosecuted were subject to essentially the same kind of mistreatment. That does meet the definition of torture.
Daryl, you had risen to the level of lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve. Can you tell us a little bit about the personal toll it took on you to make this decision to leave a job that you were so committed to?
Yes. Well, first of all, I was, I'm a veteran of Iraq. I spent four of the past 7 years on active duty, and my mindset was that of a true believer. And so it was very, very difficult for me to come to the conclusion that our government could have acted so badly. And I was anguished. And when I finally did come to the decision and did come clean and did come out in public and express my views, I felt a great burden lifting from me.
Daryl Vandevold, we can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
Daryl Vandevold is a former lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve. He resigned as a prosecutor in the Office of the Military Commissions in September.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.